Morning. Today's daf is Daf Yates. We are in the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're continuing with the Kohen Gadol, advancing our way to Avodas Yom Kippurim, and we are almost there. We discussed already from the beginning of the Masechta the Shivas Yimei Afrash, the 7 days in which he sequesters. We discussed what he did over the course of the 7 days. We discussed yesterday's daf, his diet for Erev Yom Kippurim. Most of us would be eating. He would be eating less for reasons which we discussed in yesterday's daf. We are now at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis, and Masru Ziknei Beis and LeZiknei Kahuna. So he was transferred from the Ziknei Beis into the Ziknei Kahuna. Now the Ziknei Beis were the ones who went over with him the basics, so like we discussed in yesterday's daf. They went over with him the Kabbanos. They would show him the various animals that were going to be used over the course of Yom HaKippurim. And they basically, they taught him. Right? They read from him Parshas Achrimos. The Mishnah yesterday said sometimes the Kohen Gadol knew what was going on, sometimes he did not know what was going on. Either way, that was the job of the Beis Din. Now he got transferred over to Ziknei Kahuna. So what's so special about Ziknei Kahuna, the elders of the Kahuna? What are they going to teach him that the Ziknei Beis Din cannot teach him? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says, second Rashi in the Mishnah, Lalamdo Chafinas HaKetoros. So they're going to teach him the special avoda, the avoda of Chafinas HaKetoros. We're going to be discussing this later in the Masechta. The Gemara is going to call this one of the most difficult avodas for a Kohen to do. So the Chafinas HaKetoros is basically where he's going to take a two fistfuls of Ketoros and bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim so it can create the smoke, the pillar of cloud. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But this is just a difficult avoda, and it required experience and expertise, and it was taught to him by the Ziknei Kohen Gadol. And they brought him to Beis Avtinas, and they made him make a shvuah, v'niftaru. And after having made the shvuah, so then they depart. V'halchu lahem, v'amru lo. And the Mishnah seems to be backtracking just a moment and saying, what's the shvuah? Here's the shvuah. Ishi kohen gadol anu shluchei beisim v'ata shluchenu. So again, that word ishi, you're going to see that word again and again. Rashi over here says, Adoni. So my master at kohen gadol, you are our shliach, and we are shluchei beisim. And we would like to make a shvuah upon you. So, and we don't want you to deviate at all. Meaning, everything we told you, please do accordingly, without any deviation. So he walks away, he cries, and they walk away, and they cry. And the Gemara later on will explain why all the emotion and why all the tears. Im haya chacham. So now now we're basically entering into Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah is going to be describing how he did an all nighter. He was up the whole night. Now we already know the reason why. We discussed on yesterday's daf. The chachamim wanted him to avoid him becoming a balkari. The chances of him going to sleep that night and becoming a balkari were to be avoided. So therefore, he stays up the whole night. So the Mishnah basically is going to describe this Mishnah. The next Mishnah is basically going to describe how do we keep him up the whole night? What do we do to entertain him? So to keep his interest. So the Mishnah goes on to explain him. Chacham darish. So if it's the Talmid Chacham, so let him darishin. In other words, he'll give shir. V'imlav Talmid Chacham darishin lafanav. Now if he's not a Talmid Chacham, so he sits in shir. Okay, you know the challenges of sitting in shir as opposed to the one giving the shir. So v'im ragol akros korei. Now if he knows how to read, so let him read. V'imlav korin lafanav. And again, if he doesn't know how to read, so then you read in front of him. And again, we go back to yesterday's daf. Hard to imagine a Kohen Gadol doesn't know how to read. So again, you go back to yesterday's daf. The Gemara yesterday spoke about how it could very well be the Kohen Gadol never even heard about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Right? The Imlo Lamadata was the mission in yesterday's daf. Like, in other words, it's possible he never even learned. So yeah, so the illiterate Kohen Gadol. Ovamakar in Lafanov. Now, what do you read in front of him? Be Eov of Ezra of Adivra Hayamim. So you read from him parts of Nach, meaning what else are you going to do? Of course you're going to learn Torah with him, but the parts that will hopefully keep him somewhat interested. So you read from him Eov and Sefer Ezra and Divrei HaYamim, and these are stories with storylines, and they have plots, and hopefully it'll keep him interested and entertained. Zechariah ben Kavuto Omer Pamim Harbe Karit Lafana ben Daniel. Zechariah ben Kavuto said many times where I read Daniel, Sefer Daniel. Sefer Daniel was even easier, because Sefer Daniel was written in Aramaic. And that was a spoken language back then, so it made it even easier to listen to, easier to understand. Okay. Fine. That's the Mishnah. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. We are on the very top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Lamdu Chafina. Okay. So the Gemara says very succinctly, as Rashi said back in the Mishnah, why was he transferred? Why was he given over to Ziknei Kahuna? And why was he taken to Beis Avtinas? Right? And what was done in Beis Avtinas? That's where the Ketores was done. So he could learn the Chafina, so he could learn about this very difficult avoda of holding the Ketores in his two hands. Now, by the way, again, we'll talk about later in the Masech in terms of why it was so difficult. Hold Ketores in your two hands, that's not so difficult. But we'll see that he wasn't just holding the Ketores in his two hands, he was holding a number of other things in his under his armpit and whatever. There was and there had to have been a transfer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Amar Rav Papa Shtei Lishkos Hayulo Lekohen Gadol. Achas Lishkos Parajim, Achas Lishkos Beis Avtinas. So we go back to the board. Okay, so once again, I have behind me a picture of the Azara, and we want to know the following. The Kohen has what's called the Lishkas Parhedrin. Okay, you'll see over here on the board, it's with a Lamed. We talked about the two Nuschos, two different ways to pronounce it, Parhedrin, Palhedrin. So there was a Lishkas Parhedrin. Now already, by looking behind me, you already know the answer. But the answer is already given away, even though the Gemara is going to spend an Amud on this question and answer. But we have two places where we can identify where he is. One is the Lishkas Parhedrin, and the other one is Lishkas Beis Avtinas. Now, Lishkas Parhedrin is where he actually lived. Lishkas Beis Avtinas is where he would go in order to learn the Chafina. And both of them are shaykh to him. Achas Betzafan v'Achas Bedarim. One was in the north and one was in the south. Achas Betzafan v'Achas Bedarim. Achas Betzafan Ditnan. And how do I know that one was in the north? In other words, right now, here's what the Gemara is not going to know. All right, we're going to go through a lot of Mishnayos and Midos and Tamid together. But before we go through the Mishnayos, just to point out what the Gemara is going to know and what the Gemara is not going to know. Gemara is going to know, here's a room for the Kohen Gadol in the north. There is a room in the Kohen Gadol for the south. I know it's there. I basically, all I don't know is which one's which. Now again, you're looking behind me. It's very easy to see because it actually says so. But right now, the Gemara does not know that information. Right now, the Gemara is just assuming that I know one's in the north, and I know one's in the south, and I just want to try to identify which one's which. And so what we're going to be doing over the course of this first Amud of today's daf is we're basically going to go review Mishnayos together in Midos, in Tamid, and basically identify that there were two rooms for the Kohen Gadol, and one was in the north and one was in the south, and then what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to piece together, based on the information given, which one was in the north and which one was in the south. That's it. That's the totality of the Amud Aleph of today. So we go over Mishnayos, Didnan. So the Mishnah and Midos, Vav L'Shakot Hayub Azara. So there were six chambers in the Azara, Gimel B'Tzafim and Gimel B'Daron. There were three in the north and three in the south, Sheh B'Daron. And so now we can go in the south and let's see if we can follow. Now we're talking about not the entrances, we're talking about the L'Shakot, we're talking about the actual chambers. So we're looking at the rooms. So Lishkas HaMelech, Lishkas HaParva, Lishkas HaMadichin. In the south you had the chamber of Melach, salt, Lishkas HaParva, and Lishkas HaMadichin. Okay? Any agreement? Yeah. These three rooms over here. These successive three rooms over here. Lishkas HaMelach, that's salt. Lishkas HaParva, we'll talk about the mitzvah built on top of it. And Lishkas HaMadichin. So Lishkas HaMelach, Shoshama Yonosim, Melach LaKarban. Every carbon had salt on it. So that's where the salt was stored in the Lishkas HaMelach. Lishkas HaParva, Shoshama Yomolich, and Oros Kachim. So Lishkas HaParva, that's where they would salt the aros kachim, the hides of the karbanos. Right? That was was the beginning of the tanning process. Remember, hides of the karbanos were kept. If it was a kai, it was an ola, it was kept by the kohanim who did the avoda. Same by chatas, and if it's a shlamim, it's kept by the owners of the animal. But anyway, so the hides were kept. So they were salted, processed in the lishkas haparva. The al gaga haisa beis tefila. Now on the rooftop of the beis haparva, so there was a mikvah. One of the mikvahs that was used by the Kohen to Tovel. As we'll see, that's not the only mikvah. Look, I'm sorry. The Al Gagai said, Beis HaTefillah, Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur. Lishkas HaMadichin, and then the third, right, we're going from east to west. And then Lishkas HaMadichin, Shama Yomadichin, Kirvei Kachim. That's where they would wash out the intestines of the karbanos. Now, Umisham Misiba, well, let's pause over here for just a moment. Tosfos is bothered. In other words, that's where we wash out the intestines. That's where we wash out the intestines. We learned already that there are shulchanos. On the north side of the Mizbeach, there are eight tables, there are eight hooks next to the eight tables. And we've said already a number of times that that's where they would wash out the animal after the animal was shechted. Most of the karbanos were shechted in the north. Your ola, chatas, and nashim have to be shechted in the north, and they were washed right here on these tables, on these shulchanos. So it's a little bit strange that this Mishnah over here is identifying that they would wash the animal in the lishkas samadichin. So if you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos is bothered by this. So Tosfos is bothered. Where it seems to be, we're somewhat differing opinions. Yesh lomar de basar kachim adichin al shochanos, aval kirve kachim sheish behem perish umeise medichin osam belishkas medichin. So they, in other words, there was basically, says Tosfos, the easy washing, the light washing, and then there was the hard work. So when you got the intestines, and when you had perish, and when you had excrement, so that was taken into the room, into the lishkas hamadichin. It's just not appropriate to wash those things out in the public in the open azara. So that was taken into a room, and that was basically where the deep cleaning was done. But the superficial cleaning of the animal, that was done on the shulchanos. That's Tosa says. That's how we can understand both the north and the south. Kirve kashim misham misiba ola lagag besa parva. Now, how did you get to besa parva? So you can actually see, right? The diagram does a wonderful job. There's a staircase on the lishkas hamadichim that took you up from here to the rooftop of the besa parva, lishkas parva, and so that's how you can get to the mikvah. So those are the three chambers in the south. Good. Gimel shivet safon. Now we'll move to the north, and we're going to talk about the lishkos in the north. So lishkas ha'etz, lishkas ha'gola, lishkas ha'gazis. So there's etz, gola, and gazis. Okay, agreement? Well, yeah, the lishkas ha'gola, lishkas ha'gazis. Now lishkas ha'etz, unclear. Could be this chamber over here, possibly. Unclear. Okay, but lishkas ha'etz, amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, shachachti ma'isa meshameshes. Second time in the Masechta, we have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov forgetting. If you remember the first time, we go back to the Mishnah Midos, where, remember, that was one of the discussions, that was one of the proofs that the Mishnah Midos was authored by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was taking us around Ezos Nashim, and when he got to this room over here, so he says, Shachachti, I forgot what this room is over here. And, okay, but that was one of the proofs that he was the author of the Mishnayos in Midos. Here we have another forgetting of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Shachachti. Remember we said Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. Everything he says, he's very precise in terms of what he says. And so therefore, if he knows, he'll say it. And if he doesn't know, he won't say it. And it's another raya that he's extraordinarily careful about what he says. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shachachti ma'isa meshameshes. I forgot. I don't know what we use it for. So Abba Shalom Omer, Lishkas Kohen Gadol ha'isa achori shtehen. The Lishka of the Kohen Gadol was behind the two of them. V'gag shloshtam shaveh. And the rooftop of the three are the same rooftop. So we have Lishka Sagola. We're going to have the Lishka used by the Kohen Gadol. I told you, at this point in time, we don't know which one it is. Because the Mishnah Midos just simply says, it's the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol. We don't know which one it is. And Lishka Sagola Sham Hayo. I'm sorry. Shosham Shava. And the rooftop of these three are level with one another. Lishka Sagola Sham Hayo Bor Hagola. So Lishkas HaGola, that's where there was the Bor HaGola, there was a pit. V'agagol nasan olav, and there was a wheel. U'misham maspikin mayim l'chol ha'azara. And that's where there would be water for the entire Azara. The Azara got flushed out, right? The Azara, blood all over the Azara. Remember, we discussed back in Pesachim, Kohanim were up to their ankles in blood. So how do you clean out the Azara? So you flood it. You flood the Azara, and then you let out the water. And the source of that water comes from the Lishkas HaGola, right? The Gemara just referred to, the Mishnah just referred to. Lishkas HaGazis, move to the Lishkas HaGazis, over here in the corner. So that's where the Sanhedrin were sitting, and that's where they would judge the Kohanim. Interesting, from the perspective of this Mishnah and Midos, right? The what's the job of the Sanhedrin? What's the big job of the Sanhedrin? To see if a Kohen is fit to do the Avodah or not fit to do the Avodah. Meaning from our perspective, from Klal Yisrael's perspective, like their job is to pasken halacha, and if there's any a question that comes up that can't be resolved by the lower courts, it was brought up to the Sanhedrin. And like from this perspective, it's like their job is, oh, just make sure the Kohanim are good. And if there's a psul with the Kohanim, if there's a question amongst the Kohanim, they're going to resolve it. Look, they were on hand, meaning that's one of the reasons why they were there.
They were the local court for the Beis
Hamikdash. Correct. So aside from the larger, you know, Sanhedrin for the all of Klal Yisrael, they were also the court for the Beis Hamikdash. Now, anybody who was psul, any kohen that was psul, so he wore black, and he would wrap himself in black. And he would have to excuse himself. And if not, so he would be white. He would be wrapped up in white. And he would be mishamish together with the kohanim. Okay, period. Not period, but comma. So ad kan. So what have we established so far? That there's a room for the Kohen Gadol in the north side. Period. I told you. We're going to slowly but surely make our way through these Mishnayos and arrive at the question. The question is going to be which one's which. But so far through these Mishnayos, I now know that there's some room over here between the Lishkas HaGazus and the Lishkas HaGola. It had a level roof, and that's where the and that was a room for the Kohen Gadol. So says the Mishnah Midos. Now Achas Bidarom. Now we could turn to the south. Didnan Shivasharim Hayu Ba'azara. There were seven gates of the Azara. Now these are not rooms; these are gates, right? And the Mishnah over here identifies that there were seven. Now if it confuses you with the number seven over here, because earlier and back in Shkolim we said there were 13. We were counting 13. So we talked about the discrepancy. The Yerushalmi, if I remember correctly, says it was a machlokus in terms of how many gates there were. Tosfos, if I remember correctly, says it's not a machlokus. The number of gates were the number of gates. It's just which ones were to be counted, which ones were actually considered. Either way, this Mishnah is going to have seven gates. So Gimel B'Tzafon, the Gimel B'Dar, V'Achas B'Mizrach. So three in the north, three in the south, and one in the east. Okay, so this Mishnah is going to have three. I know we have more over here. Right, the picture over here follows that Mishnah back in Shkalim, where there was the Mishnah in Shkalim said there were 13. Just to reiterate, the Mishnah in Shkalim, four in the north, four in the south, three in the east, and two in the west. That was the Mishnah in Shkalim, back in Shkalim. So anyway, this Mishnah in Midos has it that there were total seven gates. Three in the north, three in the south, and one in the east. Shebidarom. So we turn to the south, and we're looking at now the three gates in the south. Shar Hadlaka. So the first one is the Shar Hadlaka. Point to that one over there. Sheni Lo Shar HaKarban. So the second one is the Shar HaKarban. Here on the diagram, it's referred to as the Shar HaBechoros. Right, the Bach. Yep, Bach. Bach has that girsa. Shlishi Lo Shar HaMayim. Next one to that is the Shar HaMayim. Interesting, when we were counting, just an observation, when we were counting the Lashakos, we went from east to west, and when we're counting the Sha'arim, we're going from west to east. I don't know if that's significant, but just an observation. Shebe Mizrach, Sharni Kanor. Now we turn to the eastern gate, so that's the Sharni Kanor. Vishtei Lashakos Hayusham, Achas Bimino, Achas Bismolo. Now, adjacent to this entrance are two Lashakos, there are two chambers, there are two rooms. So again, just look at the picture, you can see to the south, you know, it's upside down. To the south, it's the Osei Chavitin. This is where the Chavitin, one of the Menachos, were made. The Mincha of the Kohen Gadol. And this is Pinchas HaMalbish. That's where you went for tailoring. So Sham Achas Bimin V'Achas B'Smol Achas Lishkas Pinchas HaMalbish Malbish V'Achas Lishkas Osei Chavitin. Fine. The two chambers that are running along the two sides of the Sharni Kanor. Shebet Safon. And we turn out to the north. Shar Nitzotz Binyan Achsadra. So Shar Nitzotz, it was built like an Achsadra, meaning basically it was poles and no walls, and had a roof over the top. And Hayav Aliyah Benuya Lo Al Gabav, and there was a platform built on top of it. Visham Kohanim Shomrim Malamalu Levim Malamata. And a point that's made in the beginning of Midas, in the beginning of Tamid, is this is the Shomrim, these were the guards. Now this is not the only place there were guards. There were guards all over the Beis HaMikdash, but on this particular post, so you had Kohanim on the top and you had Leviim on the bottom. Ushalifnim Hemenu Hachel. And just inside of it is the Chel. The Chel is this area surrounding the Azara. Sheni Lo Shar HaKarban. Okay, and now we move to the Shar HaKarban, the gate of Karban. So Shlishi Lo Shar Beis HaMokan. And then the next one is the Shar Beis HaMokan. So, can't point to it over here. Doesn't seem to be here. Here, he in the diagram refers to this as Shar Nashim, Shar Ashir. It's the same one.
It's the Shar Carbon in the picture.
Which one?
Shar Korban and Beis HaMokot is the same.
All right, right. You're right. Shlish lo shar Beis HaMokot v'tanya. Okay? And again, remember, what we're trying to do over here is just establish that there's a room. Chamesh vilos v'asar kedushin tovah kohen gadol mekadesh bo bayom. On Yom HaKippurim, they're going to be 5 times the tovah in the mikvah, and 10 times in which he's going to be mekadesh, he's going to wash his hands and his feet. The kulam bekodesh, and it's all done bekodesh, meaning in the azara, al gag beis haparva, on the rooftop of the beis haparva. We already identified that. Chutz mizu, except for this one, meaning the first one, shahaisa bechol, which was done outside the azara, agav shar hamayim, on the top of the shar hamayim. Okay, so that means over here, on the south. Uvitzad lishka so haisa, and this is it, the key line. And where was this? It was next to his lishka. Next to his lishka. The lishka of the Kohen Gadol. So now, what do we have? We have now two Mishnayos and Midos. One telling us that he had a lishka over here in the north. It was between the lishka Sagol and the lishka Sagazis. That was the lishka of the Kohen Gadol. And we know that he had a lishka in the south. And it was right next to the mikvah where he would tovel, he would do his first tefillah of the day. It was not in Kodesh, it was in Chol. He would tovel over here, and adjacent to it would be his room. Okay. And so now the only question the Gemara is going to ask is one simple question. Which one is which? So again, don't look at the picture. Picture gives away the answer. So the Lishkas Ohaisa, V'lo Yadana, Lishkas Parhejim B'tzafim, Lishkas Beis Haftinus B'darim, or Lishkas Beis Haftinus B'tzafim, Lishkas Parhejim B'darim. So I don't know which one's which. So again, so the Mishnahs don't tell us. The Mishnahs just simply say it's his lishka, lishka of the Kohen Gadol. Umistabra. So now the Gemara is going to try to investigate and argue and see if it can reason out which one's which. The lishka's parhedron bedaron havai. I think the lishka's parhedron is in the south. Okay, if you're looking at the picture, you know where this suggestion is going to go. So the my timer. So the Gemara says, because let's argue the following. Let's go over the schedule of the Kohen Gadol, and let's see, it probably makes more sense to put the Parhedron in the south. Why? So Matim Kayo Mesech Hezraglav, because let's go over his schedule. He would wake up early, Mesech Hezraglav, that's a Lashon Naki, it means he would go to the bathroom. V'tovel, and he would tovel in the mikvah. V'azel Tzafon, and he would go to the north, V'gamar Chafinas, in order so that he can learn the Chafina. Because right now the Gemara is advancing the argument that the Lishkas Beis Avkinas is in the north, and the Parhedron, that's where he would sleep every night, would be in the south. So fine. So he'd wake up in the morning, go to the bathroom, tovel in the mikvah, and then head north. And he would learn the chafina from the Lishkas Beis Avtinas. Vasila Beis Amikdash. Vavid Avoda. And then he would start making his way back. And on his way back, he would be doing the Avoda, which of course took up most of the day. Kula Yoma. Lebahadipanya Madu Alaha. And as we move towards the evening, he would be sprinkled with the Paraduma. Remember how we discussed back then, they were sprinkled with the Paraduma either on day 3 and 7, or according to another opinion, he'd be sprinkled all 7 days, except for day number 4. And according to one Amora, he got sprinkled right before the evening, because you needed the sprinkling of the Paraduma, and you need Harav Shemesh. And if you remember, this goes back a couple days in the Daf, and if you remember, the reason why he was sprinkled late in the afternoon is because according to one opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, when you get sprinkled with the Paraduma, you become Tamei. Right? It's Mitami Tahorim to Mitar Tameim. And Rabbi Akiva understands that to mean, even the person getting sprinkled, if you're Tahor, it'll be Mitameyu. No, but it's a milder form of Tumah, if we could say that. You're only going to be Tamei, and the resolution of your Tumah is you tovel on the mikvah, and you have Harav Shemesh. Fine. So, and that was the Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So therefore, what the Gemara suggested was that maybe our Mishnah are not going like Rabbi Akiva, and it was the opinion of one Amora, name of the Amora escapes me right now, but it was the opinion of one Amora who says that, no, let him do the Avodah the whole day, and right before nightfall, or right before sunset, I should say, you sprinkle him with the Paraduma, and then he'll have Harav Shemesh, and then he'll be fine. V'hadar azo l'darom, and now he would go back down south, v'tavil v'nayach. He would tavil, and he would retire. Okay. So in other words, what the Gemara is now trying to argue is, it's the easiest way to formulate his schedule. Meaning, we're scheduling the Kohen Gadol's day on the 7 preparatory days up to Yom HaKippurim. So it's easiest to imagine that he sleeps in the south, He goes to the Beis Chafina in the north. He learns, the Beis Avtinas. He learns the Chafina in the north. And then basically he makes his way back to the south. Okay, was it Abaye? Shkayach. So, and he makes his way back to the, and he makes his way back to the south. That's what the Gemara is arguing right now. And based on that argument, that's where the Gemara is now thinking that the correct locations are Parhedrin's in the south and Lishkas Beis Avtinas is in the north. Okay.
It makes most sense anyway because the mikvah is right next to it.
Okay. The Iyamar Lishkas Parhedrin B'Tzafon, because let's do it the other way. Let's say that the Parhedrin's in the north, which it is, but let's suggest that the Parhedrin's in the north. So Maktim Kayo Mesech Raglo. So now let's figure out his schedule. How's the schedule going to look? So he's going to wake up early in the morning. He's going to relieve himself. V'azal adarim, and then he'll go down to the south. V'tavil, and he'll tovel in the mikvah. V'gamar chafina, and he'll learn the chafina, because again, if the parhedrin's in the north, that means the Beis Avtinas in the south. V'asal beis hamikdash, and then he's going to go to the Beis Hamikdash. V'avid avoda, kula yume, and he'll do the avoda the entire day. Lahad epanya, and as it's getting close now to the evening, ma'adu Allah, they will sprinkle him with the paraduma. V'hadar azal adarim v'tavil, then he'll go down to the south to sprinkle, and now what? Ubay Mahadro Mazel of Safon Umeinach, and now he's gotta walk all the way back to the north in order to retire.
Which he can't do through the Azara either way, not early in the morning and not in the evening, because he hasn't gone to the mikveh yet.
Right. Right, that's interesting. In other words, how is he around? Okay. Right, he's gotta circumvent.
But if the Parhedrin is Lishkas Parhedrin is Bekoidish, then what does it help him if he has to have a heart of shemesh?
Right.
But he goes to the mikvah several times a day. It's just not a one trip.
I understood. But in other words, this is just talking about his preparatory days. This is talking about his Yemei HaFrasha, where he would tovel in the morning, and then he would tovel again in the evening. So, okay. And umi tarich metrachina lekulei hai. So, and this is basically the argument that we're making. It's too much. Too much for the Kohen Gadol to do all that. So if we're going to take the Parhedrin and put it in the north, and we're going to take the Beis Avtinas and put it in the south, so he's going to be retracing his steps too many times. That's the argument of the Gemara. Now, just if we could think about it for just a moment, meaning let's see if we can just visualize. Now, we're not talking about a lot of walking. And I understand that Kohen Gadol is not a young man. But we're not talking about a lot of walking. The entire distance from north to south, we just did this in the Mishnah Samhita, it's 135 amas. 135 amas is ballpark 200 feet. So what you're talking about over here is, I know, just we speak in terms of football, I apologize, but that's two-thirds the length of a football field. It's not a lot in terms of walking back and forth. And what the Gemara is suggesting is, I can't imagine that he's going to have to go to the north, back to the south, back to the north, and he's going to be retracing his steps and right meet Mitzrachin and Kulei Hai. But again, he's a Kohen Gadol and... in other words, kavod, meaning, right, correct, exactly. In other words, pasnish, it's just simply he's a Kohen Gadol, and we want to offer him the most amount of kavod, and if there's a way of minimizing his steps, so let's do it, right, alt kavod. In other words, it's just the appropriate way to handle and deal with the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says that that's why it makes the most sense to put the Parhedrin in the south and put the Avtinas in the north, and over the course of one day, he only has to go back and forth one time. And that's the argument of the Gemara, to which the Gemara is going to end up rejecting. Alam alam etrachin on leitfei. So the Gemara says, no, it's good to make him work a little bit, but with a purpose. The each stuki have a lifrish. So first of all, he may be at stuki. Again, this was the issue of the Bayit Sheni, that in fact, we're going to see in just a moment the Pshan or Mishnah. This is the issue of the Bayit Sheni. Chances are that there is a chance that the Kohen Gadol is at stuki, and this would be a way of trying to, try to dissuade its duke from being a Kohen Gadol. You know, if you become a Kohen Gadol, you know how much walking back and forth you're going to have to do every day. Maybe you want to reconsider. Okay.
It goes back to what you said before, that it's a little bit degrading. Everybody knows he gets up in the morning, he's got to walk somehow all the way around to get to the mikvah, and everybody's watching.
Right.
It's not worth the cover.
Right. Inami shelo tazuch dato alav. Also, says the Gemara, another important advantage of having him walk back and forth a couple of times. Right. In other words, we want to lower his arrogance. Right. In other words, if you have him just doing just a couple steps here, a couple steps there, so it could possibly lead to gaiva. So basically, you have him here. You know what? You'll schlep here. You'll schlep back here. You'll schlep here. You'll schlep back there.
But the thing is, interestingly, they could have had somebody do it for him. They're going to have like a schlepper for him.
not on this. In other words, these are things that he has to schlep himself. So the Gemara says, because can we think about this for just a moment? Meaning, the idea that the rooms are on different sides of the Azara, that didn't have to be. Meaning, it could, look, I mean, it's funny, I don't know what the Gemara is suggesting right now. Meaning, in terms of the architect of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning, HaKol B'Chsav, meaning the Gemara says a couple of times that it's divinely designed. It's not like we have any real room of negotiating or changing around the layout. But it is interesting that these two rooms where the Kohen Gadol is going to be situated, they could have been put side by side, or Inami Tizkele Bechado. Or the Gemara says they could have been consolidated into one room. Meaning I need two separate rooms, one for the Parhedrin and one for the Lishkas Beis Avtinas. And what's going on? One is sleeping, the other one is learning the Chafina. It could have been consolidated into one room. So Ella what? The Gemara says, look, by design the Torah wanted him to move. So your argument is, well, let's move him, let's have him move the least. That's not such a good argument. He's moving anyway, by design. So therefore, if he's gonna end up walking back and forth more than one time, that's not the strongest argument.
When we say the architecture was Bechsav.
All right.
So that means the Lishkas were there, but maybe we could say the usage of each Lishka.
I can hear that. I can absolutely hear that.
Do we know if both Beis HaMikdash had the same layout?
And whenever we discuss the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking Beis Sheni. Meaning that our picture, meaning what's behind me, what the Mishnayos and what the Gemara is describing, is all Beis Sheni. It's Beis Rishon the exact same, so I don't know. But it could be. It could be that the assignment of the rooms are up to us. Okay. Amar lo ishi kohen gadol. Okay, and by the way, did you see what happened? Meaning, the entire purpose of Amar Aleph of Daf Yates was to determine, right, we know he has a room here, we know he has a room here, that we know, the Mishnayos say that, which one's which? Gemara says basically, right, correct,
right,
correct. Meaning it could be this way, it could be the other way. The Gemara just simply says there's nothing, there's no conclusive evidence that why that's one way over the other. All right. Amar lo ishi kohen gadol v'chule lematavet yufta derav huna bered derav Yeshua dam rav huna bered derav Yeshua hani kohen ishlucha derachmana ninu. The Gemara Nedarim has the following debate: the Kohanim are doing the avoda, that we understand. And they're serving as agents, that we also understand. Whose agents are they? Are they the agents? Are they our agents, or are they acting as the Kodesh Baruch Hu's agents? Now, this is a little technical of a question, meaning when all said and done, I'm asking them to bring a carbon, they're going to bring a carbon, okay, and done. In other words, it sounds almost semantical. Whose agent are they acting as? If they're acting as my agent, they're going to do the avoda. If they're acting as Kodesh Baruch Hu's agent, they're still going to do the avoda. And it's the same avoda that's going to be accomplished. So it's a very technical question in terms of whose shlichus are they doing. But the Gemara Nedarim discusses this, and the Gemara Nedarim says the nafka mina would be, let's say I just had it with this particular Kohen, and I made a neder, I'm not getting any benefit from this Kohen. Just I'm done with him. Okay, I hate to talk in those terms, such animosity between two Jewish people, but that's what Nedarim is really about. If you go through Nedarim, you'll see. So in other words, so can he do the avoda for me if I make a neder against him? So if he's acting as my shliach, the answer would be no. If he's acting as a Kodesh Baruch Hu shliach, so the answer would be yes. So the Gemara Nedarim has that discussion. So the Gemara over here just simply says, look, that machlokus in the Gemara Nedarim, doesn't our Mishnah resolve the issue? Now, let's take a look at the lashon of our Mishnah. Ishi kohen gadol, anu shluchei beis din, v'ata shlucheinu. You're our shliach. It's pretty clear. So the lema tabit yufta derav huna bered derav Yeshua, and that's what our Gemara is coming in. Our Gemara is coming in and saying, now that you know this Mishnah in Yuma, so you have a machlokus in the Nedarim, and what's the machlokus? The Mishnah in Yuma seems to resolve it pretty black and white.
I would think, by the way, that if the resolution is not from Atah Shlucheinu, because he's the representative of all of the Kohanim, but from the lashon of V'shliach Beis Din.
Ah, okay.
So you're the Shliach of Beis Din, which represents all of Klal Yisrael.
Okay, could be. So the Amar Avuna Bered Rav Yeshua, Hani Kohanim Shluchei Derachmanan, and the Diyamar Shluchei Didanenu. So Meika Midan Lamatzin Lamavet V'Shluchei Didan Matzu Avdei. So the Gemara says, and in general, by shlichus, the rule is, is that if you can't do something, you can't ask a shliach to do it on your behalf. So right. So the Gemara says, so hachi kamrilei mashbimanu alecha al da'atinu va'al da'as beis din. No, in terms of shlichus, you can go. You can take the Rav Huna's braid to Rav Yeshua's standpoint, and you can say that's the shlich of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. All we mean is anu mashbim alecha al da'atinu. It just means like this. Look, when two people are coming together to make a shvua. So you have the way you understand the Shavua, and I have the way I understand the Shavua. And there may not be an agreement. So therefore, this is strictly legalese. I'm making sure that when you and I are making a Shavua, and I'm the one adjuring you, you understand that we're on my terms and on my understanding, not on your terms and not on your understanding. So that's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah says that when we say you're a Shliach, right, and the Shliach of the Beis Din, it just simply means our terms. Not your terms. That's all the Mishnah means, and it's not necessarily going to impact the issue of the Gemara Nedarim in terms of who shliach he is. Okay, correct. Who boche? The topic of Yud Tes Amud Beis, with the two dots, the Gemara now is going to discuss why all the crying. So who porish boche shechashu etzduki? So. He walks away, he cries because they suspected him of being a tzaduki, obviously. Now, this is one of the main issues that comes up again and again. You have a chumash? I have one.
I thought I had one.
It's over there. I shouldn't. It's in the beginning of the parsha. Stu, I'm good. It's in the very beginning. Okay, if you turn to Parshas Achrimos, so the Torah describes in detail exactly how the avodah is done on Yom Kippur. So the pasuk begins: "Vayemar Shem Moshe Daber La'aron Achicha Va'al Yavo B'Chol Eis Al Akorsh Mi Beis LaParoches El Penei Akaparos Hashel Aron V'Lo Yamus Ki Ve'Anan Era El Akaparos." So the Torah seems to be very clear that there is a license. If you want to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippurim. So you can't go anytime you want, the Torah says. Lo b'chol eis. Lo yavo b'chol eis. You can't go anytime you want. But rather, the ki be'anan era el ala kaporis. There has to be a cloud. There has to be a pillar of smoke. Okay. B'zos yavo aron ala kosh b'par ben b'kar l'chatzis. And then the Torah goes on to describe. But in other words, one of the high points of Yom HaKippurim, what really defines it, is the fact that the Kohen Gadol is going to enter into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Something that on no other day is done, right? We discussed back in the Mishnayos how the construction workers would be put in a box when they're working on the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But in other words, but to walk in, just to simply to walk in through the entrance, is done only one time a year by the Kohen Gadol, and there needs to be permission, and that permission is the cloud of smoke. So if you read the pasuk and you have no Torah Shebal Peh, and all you do is just read the pasuk, how does the pasuk sound? It sounds like kiva anan era el akaparis. You have to have the cloud when you go in. Right. Now, anyone who has gone through Masechet Yuma before, or has been paying attention to Musaf on Yom Kippurim, you know that's not what happens. What happens is that the fire is laid down, the coals are laid down on the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the Kohen Gadol walks in with the Ketoris in his hand, and he lays it down on the fire, and then the smoke comes up. He's not going in with a pillar of smoke. He's creating the pillar of smoke after he goes in. That is the Masorah. That's the tradition. That's the Torah Shebal Peh. If I didn't have Torah Shebal Peh, one could have argued that you have to have the smoke first before you go in. Seems to be the simple pshat in the pasuk, ki ve'anan era el kaparis. Okay? So, and this was a major issue. Meaning the tzdukim felt that without the Torah Shebal Peh, without the Masorah, so you need to first have create the cloud of smoke, and then you go in. And so any Kohen Gadol who was a tzduki, who had the opportunity, did it the way he felt was correct. Okay, and this was the back and forth and the give and take between the Zikne Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol. I'm sorry, the Zikne Kohuna and the Kohen Gadol. Where they were basically saying, please don't, and he's saying, I won't, and what's the whole back and forth, and what's the commotion? It's all about this particular issue. Now again, by the way, this might...
Who would create smoke?
Hmm?
Who would create the smoke if it's not a Kohen Gadol going in?
No, it would be the Kohen. It would be the Kohen. It would be the Kohen Gadol who was at Stuki. What do you mean?
No, I'm saying to you, we're going to Stuki that the cloud has to be there before the Kohen Gadol goes in.
No. No, he walks in with the cloud.
Right, he walks in, he brings it in from the outside.
He lights it first. And then he goes in.
Oh, I see.
And then he goes in. So this was the whole commotion, this was the whole back and forth. Now, by the way, it could also very well be that this was just a simon to a larger machlokas that takes place between the Stukim and the Purushim. But in other words, but one can only imagine. We're talking about Yom Kippurim, Kodesh HaKadoshim, holiest day of the year. In other words, this is like, of all, this is really where it came to a head in terms of the difference between the Purushim and the Stukim. So he was crying because obviously they suspected him of being a Stuki. Good. It's a portion of Bochen. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi. Who portion of Bochen? Shachashu Tzduki. Vehain, thank you. Vehain portion of Bochen. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi called Achoshe Bikshem Loke Begufo. Okay. And they're crying because they were Choshed. They were Choshe Bikshem. Suspecting somebody of doing something wrong and they weren't doing something wrong. So that's Loke Begufo. The Gemara says it's serious. It's a serious offense. And you're deserving. I can't imagine the Gemara means this literally, but you're deserving Malkus. And the Gemara over here articulates, the Gemara spells it out, because what the Stukim would do is they would light the fire first, they would light the smoke first, then they would go in, as per the simple reading of the Pasuk, and we disagreed. Based on the Masorah. Yes. So again, he would not declare himself to be a Tzduki, meaning when he was open for the position of Kohen Gadol, remember, we just talked about the other day, they bribed their way to that position. But no, they would not announce that they were Tzduki. They would just simply say, hey, I'm ready, I'm here.
There was a Kohen during Sukkot who poured the water.
Correct. This was, again, during the Bayi Sheni, this was a big issue.
The Kohen who served for 80 years and then became a Tzduki.
Yeah, you're correct. Right? Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, they have a Tosefta. The Tosefta over here describes that there was a Tzduki, and he was a Kohen Gadol, and he did exactly what he wanted to do. He was hitkin mibachutz, he set it up from the outside, in the pillar of smoke, and then he walked in, and biyitziyaso yasamech simcha gadola, and he was so happy. Pagabo aviv, he meets up with his father. Amalo b'ni af apishit tzdukim anu, mitjarim anu minaprushim. So the father says to the son, father had more experience of life and understood things a little bit better. Look, son, I'm glad you're so happy, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the Purushim. Amar lo kol yamai isi mitzayer al hamikra hazeh. So he says, presumably the son says, look, I'm going over the pasuk again and again, and it bothers me. Ki ba'anan ha'era'el ha'kapares, amarti, and I said, masaya vo liadi ve'ay kamenu. And I was hoping my whole life, this was a life dream of mine, that I would be able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and not have the pillar after having gone in, but going in with the pillar of smoke.
I think the tzar was that he understood that the pasuk wasn't being mekuyim the way he understood it.
Correct.
Not on the pasuk itself.
Right.
The lack of
kiyum. Right. So now I have this chance. I have an unbelievable chance. So Amar lo ayamim muatim hashemeiz v'huto ba'ashba v'ayu tolam yotzo mechatmo. So according to the first version of how the story ended, so there were only just a short days where his body was found in the pile of rubble in the garbage, and tolam and worms were coming out of his nose. You understand the significance of the chota, meaning we're talking about the ketores, we're talking about the burning of the ketores. It produces a smell, and so right. It's pretty obvious the significance of the chotam in this context.
Because it was the first part of the body.
And some say that it was bitziaso nigaf. The Tana de Rabbi Chia came in kol nishma ba'azor sheba malach vechavto al panav. A malach came and hit him right on his face. V'nichnas achav ha'kohanim amato kikaf regal egel ben kiteifav. And they saw what seems to be the footprint of an eagle that was between his shoulders. Shenamar, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yecheskel, V'raglam regal yisharav, V'kaf raglam kekaf regal eagle. The Pasuk in Yecheskel describes the feet of the Malach. The feet of the Malach looked like shaped like an eagle. And so, according to another version, the Malach got him right as he walked out.
It's certainly according to the second version, but I would think according to the first also, when it says Shehiskim Yivachutz Vehichnis, that it didn't mean that he actually did it. It means that he was planning to do it before Yom Kippur, that he was so excited that he's going to be able to do it this way, and then his father came and spoke to him. Because otherwise, according to the second sheet, if he got hit already in the Kodesh Kadoshim or in the Azara, mm-hmm. then when did he have this conversation with his father?
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. It sounds like he went through with it.
I'm saying, according to the second version, it's impossible that he went through with it.
And how do you understand Yitzhiya so? It's just a question. I mean, to me, the simple difference between the two Girsalos is just a question of when he got. When he was killed.
No, but I'm saying, when did he have the discussion with his father? He was killed.
Second version, I don't know if there was a discussion with his father. Mm-hmm. Could be there was no discussion. Okay. Something to think about. Am Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavuto. Masile Rav Chanan Barav, Alechia Barav, Kameh Derav. Am Rabbi Zechariah ben Kaputo. Okay. You know how careful they were about yourselves. So when he was teaching the Braisa, so instead of saying Kavuto with a base, so he said it with a pay. Umachve le Rav Yadei, Rav the guardian of the Girsa. So Rav says no, Kavuto, and he showed with his hand. So maybe he held up a base with his hand, right? Machve le Rav Yadei, he showed with his hand. No, that's not the right Girsa. It's not with a pay. It's with a base. But Neimalei Meimar. So the Gemara now, it's just an interesting aside. So why doesn't he just correct him verbally? Meaning you're making a verbal mistake, so why doesn't Rav just simply say, not Kaputo with a pay, but with a base? So, right, why the saying sign language? So, V'neimale Meimar, Kriyashma Havikari. So, Rav at the time was saying Kriyashma. So, leads us to an interesting discussion. The Gemara is going to discuss this briefly. So now what are you doing? You're interrupting your Kriyashma. And it's for a good reason. It's right. It's for the correction of a girsa and a braisa and a mishnah.
You greet somebody when you see correction.
Okay, so have a kari. V'chi agav nimishar v'amar avi yisrael b'shemal bar marta karis shemal v'lo yirmos lo yirmos beinav v'lo yikros b'sifsosav v'lo yore b'etzbosav. So you're not allowed to motion to anybody when you're saying shema. There should be no interruption, and not even nonverbal interruption, right? To suggest something with your eyes, or to make some sort of indication with your lips, or to show somebody with your finger. No, meaning you should be concentrating on the Shema, and not even nonverbal communication. V'tanya Rabbi Lazar Chasma Omer Kori Shema Omer Amis Beinav Mekarz Besif Sosav Omer Betz Bosav Alav Akasav Omer V'lo Osi Karate Yaakov. And the Gemara speaks in very strong terms against having any type of nonverbal communication during your Shema. So, questions on the table. How can Rav correct the Amora who was saying over the Braisa if Rav was in the middle of Shema? And even if it was a nonverbal correction, that seal doesn't seem to be appropriate during Shema. Lokasha abeperek rishon abeperek sheni. So the Gemara says, depends where you are. So if you're in Perek Rishon, take a look at Rashi, Tzarech bo Kavana. So you need Kavana. So Rashi Darshan from the Pasuk of Alev Avcha, that has to be Alev, it has to be on your heart. You need extra Kavana for that first Parsha. Masha'en came by the second Parsha, not that you don't need Kavana, but the requirement of Kavana is not as severe. Or it's not as strict. Tana Rabbanu V'dibarta Bam Bam V'lo B'tfila. So V'dibarta Bam, so you have to enunciate, you have to articulate. So Bam V'lo B'tfila. Tefillah does not have to be articulated out loud. Look at Rashi, Balachash. Shatfila Balachash Shenemar v'kolah lo yishama. Kach masata b'shilta de Rav Achai Gon. So Rashi says he believes the pshat is he heard it from Rav Achai that when you're saying Shema, so it has to be out loud. You have to articulate it. When you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, Balachash, like we find by Chana. Another point says the Gemara, V'dibar tabam. You know when you talk, you know what you should be talking in? You should be talking in Torah. And not dvar macherim. And when you're conversing, you should not be having any other types of conversations. Okay? Gemara over here, this is it. This is the Gemara that speaks about Sichas Chulin. about idle chat and idle discussion. Rabbi Acha Omer v'dibarta b'maseh osam keva v'al ta'asem arai. Your Torah study should be keva, it should be koveya, it should be established. And not just a, I'll grab a little bit here, grab a little bit there. Amar Rava ha'sach sichas chulin over ba'aseh. The Gemara over here speaks about sichas chulin, speaking just idle chatter. Shenemar v'dibarta b'am, b'am v'lo b'dvar macherim. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer over b'lav. You're violating a law. Shenemar kol advarim yigiim lo yuchal ish ledaber. The lo yuchal. Say the Gemara formalizes the law. Okay, 1 6 13 probably not. The serious issue. Very. Okay, that's instructions for today. Okay, today we finished up Daf Yutes. We started the Mishnah today in terms of the last discussion, the last instructions given to him. He was handed over to the Zikne Kahuna. For fear that he was in Stuki, the Ahmed Aleph of today's daf tried to identify. We know he had two rooms in the Azara, one in the north, one in the south. Identification of which one is the Parhedron, which one is the Beis Aftinas. The Gemara comes out inconclusive. Look at the diagram behind me. So the Parhedron's in the north and the Beis Aftinas in the south. And then the remainder of today's daf is the crying that was done at the end of the speech. And the Gemara segue just a little bit into the interrupting your Shema for nonverbal communications. Rabbi Chanan, okay.